You think about something for just a few moments, and that is when it gets to this time of year, we get to a point and we say, we might not say it, but we think it. There's certain things that take place in your life at this moment as you've had your Christmas traditions, and you'll get to this point, and I could ask each of you, and you'll resonate with some of the things that we're going to say here for just a moment, but there's a moment that comes in time. It'll be a particular time or it'll be a particular event where you will say, it's now Christmas. Have you said that this year? It is now Christmas. Now, some of you probably hadn't said that yet, right? Hadn't quite got here yet. There's still some things to be done. What kind of things is it that comes to mind when we start thinking about what does it take to make Christmas for you? For you to say, it's finally Christmas. For some people, it's a lot of different things. It could be something as simple or whatever is as a and maybe we might say off the beaten path of what we really know the meaning of Christmas is. But it might be that there's a TV show that you remember. For me, I came along about the time when Rudolph first came out. Now they told me a few years ago Rudolph was 50 years old now, so I realized that I was there at the beginning of Rudolph. And you used to think about in those days about this, the time of year, finally, I'm going to get to watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And maybe that's going to be something that makes it Christmas. Maybe it's another program. It could be the old Charlie Brown Christmas, or some of you don't remember that old movie, It's a Wonderful Life, right? That folks say, oh, we got to sit down and watch that movie together. Maybe it's when you've been doing all this scurry of Christmas present buying, and you get the last present bought, and you might even sigh relief and say, now I can enjoy Christmas because I've got that taken care of. You've checked off the last thing on your list. Maybe it's that time when it's going to be Christmas, because for us, a lot of times it was, I remember thinking on Christmas morning, something really special was this. I could have made it any time of the year, but we had Christmas had breakfast casserole and certain kinds of foods and that we do. Maybe it's about a gathering at someone's house. For me growing up, it was going to my pawpaw's up in Statesville. And we didn't go every Christmas. I don't know what it did in off years there, but when we would go up there, boy, it was really special to gather in that place. And even one Christmas, we spent Christmas there. That was really special. But a place you go, or something that you do, the gathering of special folks. Maybe it's about going out, riding around, and looking at Christmas lights. Or maybe, like even this morning, attending a Christmas cantata at one of the churches or somewhere, and special music along the way. And so today that might be it for you, for some of you right here. But in all the many, many wonders of Christmas that we say about enjoying what Christmas is about, all of them are only available to us because God grants and gives to us life and health and strength to do that. And we have to look back and say, you know, a lot of folks, and even in our own lives, we've been off track a bit. We've given emphasis to other things and made Christmas into maybe something that it shouldn't be. But we should incorporate in today, and maybe that's what this story will have done for you, to remember again the true gift of Christmas and what God has done, the meaning and the wonder of Christmas. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, in the fullness of time, God brought forth His Son, born of a virgin. Pastor John shared that with us. It's a very common verse. It comes up all the time because we realize God orchestrated history. He didn't have a surprise to hit him, something he was never expected. He didn't decide when the world was created, one day I'll figure out what I need to do for the mess that sin has come into the world. He always knew exactly what was going to happen. And the triune God, Jesus Himself, the Word who becomes flesh, is the one who comes to be our Savior, comes to the world. And this story is a story of, it took place, it is a historical moment in time. It's the most important event and time frame and life that was lived in the history of all the world, in all of eternity. I always like to think of it as being the fullness of time, is the very center of all time, because as we understand, and it's bigger than our minds can grasp, eternity past, God has always existed. Eternity future, to be with Him one day, those who are His children, it's just as far out there. And right in the middle of that, God sends His Son. Jesus comes willingly to be the Savior of the world. Sometimes it just seems like it's just one of the Christmas stories and one of the Christmas traditions to sit around and to read this story. If you don't have it as a part of your Christmas tradition, I would really encourage you, whatever stage you are in life right now, even if you're a senior adult or if you're with your grandchildren or it seems too busy to pull it off, try to take a moment on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning where you will sit down and open up to Luke 2 and read the rendition. We'll get to that in just a moment, of this magnificent story in the quietness of that moment, and to have a prayer and thank God that He has made all these kinds of things possible for us. There are going to be a lot of people who one day in the end of time, when they are reminded of this story, a story that could not have been drafted by a person. It couldn't have been created. We think about all the great stories that we've ever read, books that have been written, movies that we may have watched, and they may have moved us in some way. But there will never, ever be one that will compare to this story. And when you think about it, I tried to think about that. Are there some magnificent stories that in some way really do compare to the splendor and the paradoxes that are in the story? That God would come in flesh and live among us and then live like He did and serve like He did, bear the sin of the world, die for the sins of the world, suffer the pain and the agony of our sin that we would have to do, and then to ascend back into heaven and say, one day I'll come and get you again. And I'll have a home for you and be restored forever and ever. You can't come up with a story like that. Nobody writes a story like that. It doesn't make sense, it seems, in human concept to do that. It's not going to make money. It's not going to be very exciting, it seems. But ultimately, it will be the story that makes everything else possible. And so for you here today, those of you who have surrendered your heart, given your hearts to Jesus, there's going to come that place in time when we will gather at the end of the ages, and they made mention of it, or I thought of it, as they think about those wise men, those kings, those prominent fellows who came and stood before Jesus at the house in Bethlehem. And think about these words in Philippians chapter 2. Listen to this. Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Why is that? Because He was equally God. But He made Himself, He chose to do this, of no reputation. And He took the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself, and He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now hear these words. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him, given Him a name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every single person, everyone in all of time and eternity, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That day is coming. And for some, it would be too late to have professed and yielded their life to Christ. But there's still time right here this morning. There was silence of 400 years before Jesus would come. And silence in the sense that there were no more prophetic books that were written and given to them. When we think about our Bible, between Malachi and Matthew, there weren't any books that were written during that time. And the Old Testament, the ones who had hope in their hearts, the prophets that spoke said, but He's coming one day. You think about all the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah and all through the Old Testament there, but there came a time when there was nothing else added to the writings, but one day he would come. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. This morning, we're going to do something that maybe we haven't done in a long time. We are going to read that story together. I want you to take your hymn books in front of you for a moment. Turn to a responsive reading in the back. It's number 36. Number 36. I don't see a page number, so that's what it is. But it's in the very end of the hymn book. Find it's just entitled Our Savior's Birth. And I want us to read this together. I'll read the light print, and together we will read the bold print. Before we do that, I want to pray for just a moment. And I want you, as you find that and you read that right now, look at it, think about it, focus on it, and ask God in the midst of this prayer. We're going to ask, right, God, speak to me through this, new and fresh. I've read this story, literally me, I've read this story hundreds of times. And you, some of you there, you say, I've read this story many, many times, hundreds of times. But it can still speak something very special to us right now. Like I said, I'll read the light print. Together, let's read the bold print. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Would you bow with me? Lord, we take this moment right now to thank you once again that you always had a plan and we were part of that plan. That you would send your son Jesus. Jesus, that you would come. You who became flesh and blood, but fully God and fully man, lived a sinless life on this earth and atoned for the sins of all of us here and all of mankind. That what you did was sufficient enough for all peoples of all time and history. And Lord, we pray that as we come to this Christmas season, once again remembering this eternal gift to us, if we would but receive it. Lord, thank you for that. And allow this story to speak to our hearts right now and to prepare us for the next few days. Christmas is just 3 days out from here. And there's so much to enjoy and to be blessed by. And there's so much to do. But may we pause and marvel at the wonder of the gift that you have given to us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as you've read this story, Do you realize that this is to you and it is for you? And there's many here who probably say, yeah, I've known that for a long time. But I kind of get in the scurry and the hustle bustle of Christmas and I forget. It happens to me. It happens, it really does, to all of us. And we can have the times of coming to our sanctuary when we finally lay our phones down. And we don't do that at the dinner table sometimes and anywhere else in our life. At work, we don't seem to do that, it seems. But here we come and we get aside and allow Him to speak to you and use this time to prepare you as well. Remember today of this most magnificent birth, a humble birth where the Word became flesh. Listen to these few words. I'm not going to read the whole part of John chapter 1. I think Pastor Darrell Davis last week read some of this. Listen to these words, though. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Down in verse 12 it says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of God, but then it says these words, but of God, being born again of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this morning, let us remember, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin. And He did that for every one of us here, for every single one of us. None of us have ever, and there's nobody we can think outside this place that is not deserving of God's love. Because the fact is, all of us are undeserving of God's love, but God has not chosen to leave any unattended in that way. So open your hearts up. This morning we're going to sing a hymn of invitation as we get ready to close this service. Only trust Him. And as you sing these words, I want you to listen and hear and sing them from your heart and realize that He has come for you. And then we'll close our service out.